This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
As the Fed steps up to the rate cut plate, Sweden takes a crack at offering its economy more fiscal support. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. First, though, Saudi Aramco's chief executive told Bloomberg this morning the Abqaiq oil facility hit by a drone attack Saturday should be back at operating at full capacity by the end of this month. Iran's president Hassan Rouhani said Saudi Arabia should see that attack, though, as a warning to end the war in Yemen. But the newly appointed Saudi ambassador to London, Prince Khalid bin Bandar, told the BBC the government has no plans to do so.
Principally, it's achieved sending a message to Iran that this is not somewhere that they can control, take over, and apply their malicious intent on. Yemen is as close to us as part of Saudi Arabia. We will defend it. We will protect it. We didn't start it. We don't want to be there. If we could end the war tomorrow, we would. But I'm pretty sure that the situation in Yemen will only get worse if we leave.
Oil prices have steadied around $64 a barrel as investors keep tabs on the situation. But Fiona Sensata, an analyst at City Index, said if geopolitical tensions worsen, prices could rise again.
So what we've seen here is an increased risk premium. The initial huge jump in the price of oil, that was on the back of supply concerns. Obviously, tensions in the Middle East, that can affect the oil price. The fear that the US was going to have some huge retaliation, I think that's calmed down as well. The oil markets have just got sort of, they're a little bit jittery that there's going to be something happening, but that's not as big as what we had on Monday.
Fiona Sensata there. Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are mostly flat today. Israel's benchmark is up 0.6% amid fresh political deadlock. That's after a second general election in 5 months has so far resulted in no clear winner. The Federal Reserve is expected to cut interest rates this afternoon as worries continue about slowing growth. It comes as central banks all over the world are warning governments they need to do more to help their own economies. Today, Sweden took a step in that direction, unveiling its latest budget, which included tax cuts of $2.5 billion a year. But Åsa-Pia Jarlsten-Barenström, an economist at the Trade Union Confederation in Sweden, said the government needs to think about spending more, too.
Those needs come from the demographic development, that the elderly as part of the population is growing much faster now than it has before. So we will have big expenditures coming ahead, especially for the municipalities that take care of the welfare systems. And the government, they see this and they say they know that a lot of money will be needed here. But still, there is a restriction, and that is the target of the surplus in the budget. So we have the lowest state debt since 1977 now in Sweden, but the local government are getting poorer and poorer, and it's more and more difficult for them to finance the welfare costs.
So how do you solve that problem?
Well, we think from the Swedish Trade Union Confederation that you should solve it through having the central government being responsible for the welfare systems in the country, giving a lot more money to the local government, because the local government have to finance this through taxes. And there are already very big differences in Sweden with different municipalities that have a lot higher taxes than especially the big cities. And we think the situation for people living all around the country should be the same.
Åsa-Pia Jarlsten-Barenström from the Trade Union Confederation in Sweden, thank you.
Thank you.
Every industry is ripe for disruption, and diamonds are no exception. Traditionally, they've been made over billions of years by Mother Nature, but increasingly, companies are manufacturing the rocks in just a matter of days, as the BBC's Rob Young reports.
I'm in a laboratory at the University of Cardiff. It's got the kind of things you'd expect, really. There's a microscope on a desk, some white coats. Oh, and a machine that makes diamonds. It's the lab of Ollie Williams, Professor of Experimental Physics.
In this plasma, you get a very special chemistry, which is why we're able to grow diamond at these low pressures and temperatures.
So what is the quality then of a lab-grown diamond compared to one which has been mined?
I would argue it's superior. The best lab-grown diamonds can be much purer than natural diamonds.
What are the potential other benefits?
Well, obviously, you know, mining is not terribly carbon neutral, right? You know, but at the same time, I mean, we do need energy to grow these diamonds. But of course, the energy can be produced renewably. But I mean, generally, the process is not very dirty. You're just using, you know, hydrogen and methane. It's ethically clean.
The potential impact of people making diamonds could be huge. More than $10 billion worth of rough diamonds are mined each year. The giant De Beers effectively created the marketplace and the lure for diamonds. It now produces some in labs, as well as digging them out of the ground. David Prager is an executive at the company.
Natural diamonds obviously are, you know, the youngest are a billion years old. They're finite treasures of nature. Lab-grown are a fantastic fashion jewelry accessory. We expect it to be a small adjunct business to our natural diamond business.
So do consumers want to buy them? Rosanna Croft designs jewelry in Derbyshire in Northern England.
Lab-grown diamonds will become much more popular, potentially because of the price point, but I do think that it'll be an environmental thing that drives them forward.
Sales of man-made diamonds are a tiny proportion of the overall market, but it is growing. Jewellery stores say millennials in particular seem to like them, but we can expect diamond mines to be around for a long time yet. In London, I'm the BBC's Rob Young for Marketplace.
So, lab-grown or real, which ones would you buy? Let us know on social media. We're at the hashtag BBC Marketplace. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.